As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Last week he said, you have a choice to make. You make a choice every day for you and for your family. This week we're also looking at choices. Some of them are sort of forced upon us by life circumstances. Others are choices that we make. So, I guess what I'm talking about when I talk about turning points today is embracing those choices that you have and making the most of them and recognizing those turning points and always making sure that you turn in the right direction. Baptism, graduation, birthdays, anniversaries, marriage, having a baby, the empty nest. All these are turning points in life. Other turning points aren't so good. Like death, loss of a loved one. Like making some bad choices in life and going before the judge and him saying guilty. Those are some of the turning points that aren't so happy. Some turning points are natural. They sort of come as we go. You get older. You graduate high school. You know, you certainly put some effort into it, but let's face it, if you hang in there, you're going to graduate high school. Others, you make real significant choices about, am I going to go to college or not? Am I going to get married or not? Am I going to marry this person or that person? Am I going to, you know, what are we going to do with our life? Are we going to live in Spencer County? Are we going to move to Louisville? Are we going to move to South Florida? You know, what are we going to do? Those are turning point decisions. Some of them we make ourselves. Some of them happen to us by accident. Some of them are forced on us by circumstances. You're leaving church this morning, you drive down the road, and all of a sudden a car broadsides you. Maybe you're injured, maybe the car is wrecked, and you've got a lot of turning point decisions to make right in that moment, right in those coming days. And you didn't have much choice about being there, but all of a sudden there you are. You have to make some of those choices. People face turning points. Organizations, nations face turning points. For example, in America we have elections every couple years. Those are turning points. We choose sort of the direction that we believe our country should go. Now, you know, when we do elections, a lot of times about half the people don't like the way it's going, half the people do. And that's just sort of the way it is. But let's face it, every time we do one of those elections, we're talking about the direction that our nation takes. Organizations do that. By the same token, churches face turning points. A few years ago, Plum Creek decided to call me as pastor. I hope that was a good turning point. I've enjoyed it. It's been a blessing for me and for my family. I've been blessed to know you. I've been blessed to be here. After I'd been here a couple of years, I remember the sermon series. I did a sermon series called What If? And after we did that sermon series, I don't know if some of you may remember it. I do. But we started a different missions program, and we've been working on that ever since. And I think that's been a turning point for our congregation. We have done a couple of stewardship campaigns to pay for some of the things that we're doing today, pay off the building. Even before I got here, the church faced turning point decisions. For example, building that building. Or even years and years ago, deciding to build this building. And to add on to it, the things that sometimes seem insignificant at the time or sometimes are battlegrounds, but oftentimes they determine the fate of a church or a people or a nation. And those turning points happen to us all the time. And I believe that we can make each turning point in our life demonstrate faith in God. And that's what I want to encourage us to do today, to make those choices, to make those turning points as they come to us, to make those turning points that may radically change the circumstances of our lives, to make those turning points that bring those changes that we all struggle with. Anybody here like change? You know, I used to, and I really do, I think I used to, when I was a younger preacher, I used to think it was just older folks that didn't like change. And so you'd look out in the congregation and you'd see a few gray heads and you'd say, well, those are the ones who aren't going to like change. And then I had kids. And I've noticed children don't like change either. And you know what? Teenagers don't like change. And you know what? Young adults don't like change. None of us likes change. And yet it happens to us all the time. Once upon a time, believe it or not, I was young and skinny. Times change. Too many good ribs out there. Right? Times change. We change. We get older. The world changes around us. I grew up, you know, when I was born, they had rotary phones. And then they got the touch push-button phones. Then they started getting cell phones. Remember the big bag phones, you know, people had to carry them around? Then you got the big brick phones, remember those? Then the phones kept getting smaller, and then phones turned into computers. Things change. Technology changes. The world changes around us. We're sitting in this church. When this church was built, there weren't lights in it. There weren't lights in the ceiling. There weren't speakers hanging. There weren't fans from the ceiling. Things change. The world changes around us. We need to face the facts. We need to get ready for the turns, the changes in life. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything. And then it gives us a list of those contrasts, both good and bad, the things that happen, the back and forth, much like our lives. Sometimes it feels like we're a tennis ball getting batted back and forth across the net with the good on one side and the bad on the other. And sometimes it feels like all we do is things get good and then they're bad, and things get good and then they're bad, and we struggle with those things. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. To uproot, sorry. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love. I would struggle with this one. And a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. If we're not careful, one of the reasons I think that passage echoes with us is we recognize it. It sounds like our lives. It sounds like the world we see around us. And if we're not careful, those changes, those swings can unsettle us. Those turning points can cause us to lose our way, to lose our bearings. But each case, each of those turning points, we have a choice. We can either choose to trust the Lord, we can choose to honor Him with our choices, or we can choose to ignore Him and to walk away from Him. In good times, oftentimes, we forget to honor God. We forget to say thank you. We forget to just come before Him and acknowledge His blessings for us. And then there are bad times. In the bad times, sometimes we blame Him, or sometimes we run away from Him, forgetting what Romans says in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now let me just challenge you right here, because I know some of you are going through bad times right now, and some of you have just recently gone through those, and some of you have struggles in your past that you're just really sitting here and you're saying, that there's nothing good in that. Okay, I get it. He doesn't say everything's good. He says that God can use everything for good. Now here's the hard part. Here's the choice that we need to make. Here's where we need to face the facts. The fact is that whenever we're confronted with circumstances, good or bad, whatever they might be, we have a choice to make. Are we going to trust God or not? Are we going to trust God or not? And let me just ask, you don't have to raise your hand, but you might want to nod your head maybe a little bit. Have you ever had a time in your life where you've been hit by circumstances and you said, it's hard to trust God? Have you ever had those moments, those times, and you said, you know, I'm really stuck? Listen, it's in those moments. It's in those moments where our faith is truly tested. Where God says, here is a turning point. And if you'll give it to me, if you'll give it to me, if you'll trust me with it, amazing things will happen. Now, I'm not asking you to believe me. Because I'm just a man in a white shirt and a tie. And I happen to be standing in front of a church on a Sunday morning, but I'm just a man. Don't trust me, trust God's word. He says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to Him. And sometimes one of the hardest things we do is to step back and say, Lord, here's this terrible thing, whatever it may be, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a terrible heartache that you may be struggling with, a terrible struggle in your life. One of the hardest things sometimes to do is to step back and say, Lord, in this I trust You. One day a couple thousand years ago, change came on this world. And in all our lives, Galatians 4 verse 4 says, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law. Our calendar reflects that change. Our history reflects that change that happened when Jesus came to walk the earth. Our church would not be here had Christ not come, if God had not sent His Son into the world. And yet, when we read that story, one of the struggling parts, well, I told you I was discombobulated today. One of the troubling parts for that story is when you get to that part where Jesus goes to the cross and dies for us. And that seems like the end of the story. And yet where we are, what we need to do is we need to say, I trust God. And then we see past the cross to the glory of the empty tomb. Some people are blessed to see God's hand at work in changing times. The Bible tells us that there are people in 1 Chronicles, it talks about the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Isn't that great? I think it would be great. I pray that at Plum Creek Baptist Church that we might be such men and women that we see the times, that we understand them, and that we know what to do with them. Because there are turning points all around us. They're happening. I mean, just look at the world and you see that it's in turmoil. It's in turmoil financially. It's in turmoil politically. Listen, I understand that politics is not something you're supposed to bring up at the pulpit. Okay? Here's all I'm going to say. Seems to me that the United States, the country that I grew up in, that I love, that is a part of me, that I served for 6 years in the Marine Corps, it seems to me that between the parties and the bickering and the right and the left and the who's right and the who's wrong, that we're more divided than we've ever been before. And I remember, united we stand and divided we fall. And I fear the fall. And I see in our nation that division. And I see in our communities that division. And I see around the world that division. There are turning points. There are struggles. There are decisions that people are making every day. And there's that turmoil all around us. And so we better know the signs of the times, and we better be wise about the choices we make. You better be wise about the choices you make for your family. You better go to God's Word and you better seek out His direction. Because I think in the course of the next several years, even maybe in the course of this year, I don't know, that we are going to face severe turning points in our nation, in our lives. Now, there are natural turning points that happen in our lives, like we've already talked about, but we may face bigger ones. May we be such men and women of faith that we see and understand the times to know what we should do for our families, for our church, for our community, and for our nation. To make those choices wisely. To embrace the Lord in the midst of a changing world. See, he says in Ecclesiastes that we need to face the facts. The world changes. Things go from good to bad. Our lives turn around and we need to make some choices about that. It also says we need to bear that burden. Verse 9 and 10. Right after he says all these good and bad things, he says, what does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid upon men. There's a burden laid upon us. There's a burden laid upon you. There's a burden laid upon me. Life's burdens and choices are heavy upon us. But they're burdens given to us for our good, to develop character, to draw us closer to the Lord. But again, that's a choice that we make. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, in this greatly rejoice, for now, for a little while, you may have had suffer grief of all kinds. Suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When we trust God through the changes in life, through all the challenges, then He is glorified and we are changed. I know there are some pastors who stand in the pulpit and say if you'll just trust Christ, then all your problems will go away. I'm not one of those guys. I've read the Bible. It seems to me like people who trusted God a lot in the Bible had all kinds of problems. Moses had all kinds of problems with that guy Pharaoh. And then after he got the people out of Egypt, he had all kinds of problems with the people called Israel, who were supposed to be following God. Then there was David. David, a young man worshiping God, writes a lot of the psalms, the hymns that we sing. David, what a great man of God. And yet, God anoints him to be king, and for years after that, the king who's there now tries to kill him. He had problems. Then later on, he falls into sin and causes problems of his own. His own family falls apart around him because he somehow couldn't find the strength to discipline his own children. We all struggle with the choices we make. And it's a burden that we bear. When we trust God through the changes in life, He's glorified. And then our faith grows. I hate to use gardening metaphors, mainly because I'm so lousy at it. I don't mean using the metaphor. I mean actually lousy at gardening. You know, where is Etta here this morning? Etta? He just bothered me. She grows anything. It just grows. I mean, she plants something, it grows. If you give me something that's already grown and I plant it, you know what it does? It dies. You know, I just don't have that mentality. You know, I don't know when to water and when not to water. So I usually go from one extreme to another. I either drown them or I parch them. You know, whatever it is. I can't find that middle ground where they're healthy. And then, again, because I don't think I'm very good at it, I'll ignore them for a while. You know, plants need to be paid attention to. Did you know that? I figure they're just plants. You know, they're out there. They grow. What do they need me for? Well, some of them do. But our faith is sort of like that, too. Our faith is out there, and when we believe, but one of the things that we need to do with our faith is to nurture it and allow it to grow. Now, how do we do that? We do that by getting into the Word, by prayer, and we also do that by trusting Him when times are tough. By trusting Him in the turning points. You graduates, you guys are, you know, facing a turning point in life. College or a job? Or what college or what career choice? I was over there for the career day doing the interviews with some of the kids, and that was kind of fun because some of the kids would sit down and you were like, good, they've got a plan. And some of the kids sat down and you were like, gosh, I hope they get a plan. You know, and they're graduating in 2 weeks. You know, but I understand, you know, when you're 18, it's tough to know what comes next. And listen, let me just be real clear with you. I don't expect you to have it all figured out yet. But you need to be working on figuring it out. Because every day you're going to make decisions, especially in these next couple of weeks and the next couple of years, that are going to affect your life every day. You're going to decide to go to school. Then you're going to decide whether you're going to stay in school. You're going to decide whether you're going to get good grades or whether you're going to goof off. Then you're going to decide what your career is. You're going to decide whether you're going to get married or not. You're going to make those are life-changing decisions, and they're all coming real quick here. Right now, for most of you that are graduating, you guys have had parents to rely on to make a lot of those choices for you. And let me just encourage you, trust your parents too through all of this. I'm not saying to let them make the decisions for you. They can't do that. But trust them through this. Believe it or not, they love you. And they want the best for you. Listen to people around you. There's turning points in life. That's a burden you're going to have to bear, though. So as a kid, anybody ever want to be a baseball player, a football player, anything? We're in Kentucky. What am I talking about? In basketball, anybody? No? Yeah? Okay. When my wife and I got married, I'm just going to tell you a little story here. My wife and I got married before, I don't know why she married me. I really have never figured this out. I really haven't. She said yes. That's all I know. But we were talking, you know, before I asked her to marry me. And here was my goal. I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. I thought that was what I wanted to be. You know, I wanted to be rich, right? In case you're wondering, I didn't make it. And yet, here I was, you know, I'm asking her to marry. I've been in the Marine Corps 2 years. I'm in the Marine Corps. I'm just telling you, you don't get to be a millionaire in the Marine Corps. So some of the sort of ideas I had and the way I was carrying it out, they sort of didn't match up very well. So let me be real clear with you. Folks, I'm not the only young man or young woman out there that you know, they have this great idea over here. This is the dream, and then they're living way over here, and they're wondering why the dream's not coming true. See, there's a difference between the dream and the choices we make. If you want to make the dream come true, it's got to become a vision. And for it to become a vision, you've got to put feet to it. And put feet to it, you've got to bear the burden of the choices you make. You've got to make the most of those transition points, those turning points in your life. Now, I've got to tell you, see, I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. So some of my ideas about what I wanted to be were formed before I ever had Christ in my life. And I just sort of hung on to it. Thankfully, God had me in another direction and took me in the way He wanted me to go. I'm very thankful for that. And I started making choices at those turning points in my life that worked me out to the right place. One of them was asking my wife to marry me. What a great turning point. Thanks, honey. We got to trust God through those turning points. Today, we see people facing life changes, graduates moving forward, young ladies who placed their faith in God and said, hey, I want to follow Him. I want to make Him part of my life every day. There's a turning point. You're in the midst of it. You've got to bear the burden. You've got to make those choices. And you've got to lean on the Lord. And maybe lean on the Lord is, maybe I need a different word there. Maybe lean into the Lord. You know what it means to lean into something? I grew up on the East Coast. They have hurricanes. Remember hurricanes, Mom? I remember a big hurricane came through Agnes. We lived in this house and it was a big field across the street from us. And you could watch in the rain. You ever watch rain just come in waves across the field? Oh, man. I mean, I remember the rain coming in. We had a dog. And our dog, you know, the dog didn't go to the bathroom inside. We were supposed to take him for a walk. You ever take a dog for a walk in a hurricane? I'm just saying, it's a little weird. See, there are things you lean on, and you should lean on the Lord, but I think maybe leaning into the Lord is a better picture here. See, when the storms come, if you want to keep your feet in the storm, you know what you do? You see them. You ever watch those guys on the news that are out in the storm, and the wind's blowing them? What are they doing? They're leaning into the storm. They're leaning into the storm. That's the way you keep your feet. They're going to come trials and troubles and turning points. And what you need to do is you need to lean into that and you need to lean into it with the Lord. That's the way you keep your feet. All too many people turn away from those things and they run away from them. And instead of leaning into them and dealing with them and letting the Lord work through them in that moment, instead of saying, I'm going to stand in this changing point in my life and I'm going to stand on the Word of God and I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to lean into God and help Him to make me stand here. A lot of people back off and soon they get blown away. The Bible even talks about people who are swept away by the winds of change. Folks, don't be one of those people swept away by the winds of change. The turning points will come in your life. Some of them will be great. Some of them will honestly be not so great. But whatever that moment is, and you'll know them when they come. Now here's the hard part, especially when you're young, especially you guys who are just graduating, I just want you to know. Some of the choices that you're going to make seem like little choices in the course of the next few years. Like Joe's going to ask you out on a date. And you're deciding, well, do I want to go out with Joe? Well, it's just a date. Folks, listen. Just in case you're wondering, there's one purpose to dating. Anybody know what that is? The purpose of dating is finding the person you're going to hook up with and married for the rest of your life. So if you don't take that particular moment seriously, you might end up with the wrong person for the rest of your life. It seems like a little thing, but it can become a big thing. Sometimes little things become big things. Are you going to let Joe ride with you in the car? Well, you know, Joe's been my friend for 30, 20 years. You know, I knew him in grade school. You know, we're off in college now. Joe's always been a little bit, you know, messed up in the head. I think he's involved in drugs and all this kind of stuff. And you drive 5 or 10 miles over a speed limit. because most of us do. And all of a sudden the siren goes off behind you. And Joe gets out of the car and you get out of the car and you've never done anything wrong. The cop says, can I search your car? And you say, sure, because you never do anything wrong. But Joe, your friend, knew that the cops were stopping and he didn't want to get caught with pills or with pot or whatever. And he stuck it under the seat, stuck it in the glove compartment, and he wouldn't look. And guess who's in trouble now? It's all because of who you let in your car. Doesn't seem fair, does it? You see it all the time on TV, though, don't you? The cops call you in and they say, it wasn't my dope, right? And how many times do you believe the guy who says, it wasn't my dope? How many times do you think the cops hear it? And folks, I'm not blaming anybody, I'm just saying, be careful. Sometimes the little choices you make, the little chinks in your armor, it's where the knife pierces. So, lean into the Lord and trust Him through that. Let Him make you strong. Stand firm on His Word. Say, you know what, the people I'm going to allow into my life, they're going to be people that build up my life. They're going to be people that help me draw closer to God. They're going to be people that help me move my career forward. They're going to be people that help me have a good family. They're going to be people that have a good family background. The courses I take in school are going to be the ones that are going to move me forward in life and not draw me back. And when I go to college and when I listen to some of the professors and they start talking badly about the church, which all too often they do, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry, you're wrong. The church is one of the foundations of society. Religion doesn't tear things apart, it pulls things together. And you're going to say, I'm going to lean into the Lord through this storm, and if it costs me an A, I'm going to lose the A and stand firm for my faith. Now, I'm not saying not to learn what they tell you, because you need to know what's going on in the world, but I am saying to stand firm on what you know and what you believe. Lean into the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the hearts of men. The beauty of God's plan is entrusted. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And if we trust Him, if we're determined to lean into Him, if we're determined to stand firm with Him, then we are determined to give Him the glory in all things. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. What does it mean to lean into the Lord? It means to trust Him through the turning point. It means to seek His way when you're coming upon those points. Some today are facing some of those turning points. It's just that season of your life. Maybe somebody today is facing a different kind of turning point. You're here today and God is speaking to your heart, saying, trust me. And this is a turning point for you. Are you going to trust Him or are you going to turn away from Him? See, the greatest turning point is to recognize God's utter and absolute holiness, His utter love and care for you, His absolute devotion to you, giving His only Son to you. And to realize that the one thing that you need to do is trust Him. To know that we're far from God and apart from Christ, we will ever be far from God. And today may be one of those turning points for you where you need to trust in Jesus and say, I need a Savior. Savior is one of those church words, isn't it? You need somebody to save you from the fire. You needed somebody to save you from the disaster that comes when we don't trust God. That's what it means to be Savior. Today we rejoice as two young children understood the love of God and their need of Him, and they placed their faith in Him and they demonstrated it back. Let me ask you, have you trusted in Jesus? Are you ready to give your life to Him? Let's pray. Father, on this day, in this place, Lord, though some may not want to recognize it, there are decisions to be made. Lord, and some have heard this sermon and sort of turned it off, and they said, well, it doesn't really apply to me. And some have heard it and said, I need to think about that. And I just ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would work in the lives of those who sort of listened with half an ear, and that, Lord, You would grab a hold of them and say, hey, listen, I love You. I want to walk with you through life. I'll give you strength in those turning points. I'll give you hope when you're hopeless. I'll give you peace when it seems that peace is hard to find. Lord, I pray today that if there's anyone who needs to trust you, that today would be that turning point day in their life, that decision point for them. For they would say, yes, Lord, I believe you. God, I follow. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Would you stand as we sing an invitation hymn? And this is your opportunity to. We're a traditional Baptist church. We ask that if you've made a decision, that you come forward and share it with us. You can come talk to me. I'll turn the microphone off and we'll talk about your decision. Maybe you just need to say, hey, listen, I'm facing a lot of decisions in my life and I want to start off right. Maybe you just need to say, hey, listen, would you pray for me? Or maybe you just want to go to the altar and pray by yourself and just say, Lord, help me in the decisions I need to make. So you come as we sing. Page 598, wherever he leads, I'll go.